it says out of the three, John was closest to Jesus. And interestingly enough, he was the only one that stood at the cross with the women at his crucifixion. And also interesting, he was the only one that didn't die a martyr's death of the last 11 apostles. They tried to kill him. They boiled him in a pot of oil one time and it had no effect on him. So they banished him to an island called Patmos. That was supposed to be a punishment. And there, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelations, this apostle John talking, and he's caught up into heaven. We don't know if he was physically taken there, or he just saw it, and he was a vision. He talks as if he was there. He was caught up into heaven, it says, and he begins to describe to us things that he saw in heaven. This is John is about 90 years old, so some 60 years possibly after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he begins to describe to us in the book of Revelation things that he saw in heaven. And we pick it up here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. He had just seen Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and he didn't look anything like the Jesus that walked on this planet. It talks about his face was like burnished bronze, his eyes were flame of fire, his hair was white like wool, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And in verse 17 it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Do not be afraid.'" Well, it would be reason to be afraid when you saw something like that. I mean, and I think the same holds true for us today, that the Lord would continually say to us, don't be afraid. No matter what you're facing in life, what you're going through, life may look difficult. It may look challenging. It doesn't look like you're going to make it. Sometimes we're afraid of God. Sometimes we're afraid of the devil or circumstances of life and whatever. If you're in the presence of the Lord, he would say, don't be afraid. I'm here. You don't need to be afraid of me or the devil or the world. I've overcome. Do not be afraid. And he goes on. He says, I'm the first and the last. Jesus telling John to write this. He said, whatever you see, write it in a book. And he did. And he did that for us. And he says, I'm the living one. I was dead. All other gods are dead. Our God was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And not only that, this is Easter. We're talking about the resurrection. What happened in the resurrection is that I have the keys of death and Hades, or hell. He's got the keys. Came to earth for a reason. He came to get those keys. What do keys signify? They open things. They can lock things into place, and they can open and release. And he said, I've got the keys of death. Wow. Told that to John. He told him to write that to us. You know, but to today, what does that mean? He has the keys to everything in your life that spells death or hell. He's still got the keys. The keys are still working. You know, Jesus came to earth and lived and died and rose from the dead, not so that 2,000 years later we could just have a great dinner and celebration and get dressed up and come and talk about something that happened 2,000 years ago. Not just that, but so that actually it would have some efficacy in our life today. He says, I'm alive forevermore. And what I did, took the keys of death and hell in your life today, 2014. I've got the keys of things that are bugging you, bothering you, holding you back, plaguing you, pestering you, make you angry, make you upset, make you afraid. I've got the keys. Sometimes we look in so many places for answers to questions that only God can answer, because he's got the keys. When he rose from the dead, he took the keys of everything that hinders you, binds you, chains you down, and holds you back. He came to do something that would help us today. I got a question for you, and that is this. What in your life is dead or dying? Now, do you believe that he has the keys to help you? Where are you looking? What are we looking to relieve the pain of this world and this life? What are we turned to, like in the skit that we just saw? This person turned to a bunch of different things, and they're still out here today. They're all available, the same things that people have been tempted with and turned to as false gods and idols and things that they would look to and hope that it would answer the problems of their life. It's been going on for 6,000 years, and there's one solution, consistent relationship with God. What in your life is dead or dying? You know, I know some people that are dead. I mean, I did their funerals, but today they're very much alive. Amen. Pastor Courtney went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. We would say he's dead, but you know what? He's alive. very much alive, more alive than he was here. But on the other hand, I know some people that are walking around on the planet today, we'd say they're alive, but they're very much dead. Very much dead. So I got a question for you today. What in your life is dead or dying? There's three types of death. The first type of death is an emotional death. Some of us have experienced this. Stressed out, burnt out, can't sleep, lonely, facing financial pressure. It's an emotional death going on. The toll sometimes is insurmountable. You don't know how you can go on one more day. You ever experienced that kind of emotional death where you didn't know if you could go on and maybe even prayed to die, wondered if you should, and just so burned out, so stressed? Life is very challenging at times. We live on a fallen planet. God created an idyllic place called the Garden of Eden, and he told man not to sin, but he did, and it brought a curse on the planet, and there the devil and demons loose. There's sin, there's evil all around us. The world is not the way God intended it, and one day he's going to bring it back to where it's supposed to be, but right now that's not where we find ourselves, is it? In the world, life can be tough, can beat you up, spit you out. Sometimes we can go through an emotional death. But I assure you, those keys of death and hell are working today and can release you from any type of emotional death that you're going through. And it really is the only lasting and true working solution to emotional death, is the keys that Jesus holds. There's another kind of death that you may have experienced, a relational death. Some of us have experienced this, maybe a divorce, separation, a fight, a breakup. You've been wounded, you've been hurt. Those things can go deep, can't they? Relational death, sometimes, you know, it can get down on the inside of you and bring so much pain that, like that girl in the skit, was thinking about ending it all. And then there's a third type of death that's called spiritual death, where you're alienated from God and you have no peace in your life. You want to find peace and comfort, but you can't. And then you become cynical and cold toward God, and you don't know or feel God. It's a spiritual death. There's a verse in the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says this: "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life." Give life. If you've had a emotional death, a relational death, a spiritual death. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and well on planet Earth, and it will give life to your situation. It'll give life to your death. It'll give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. I like this translation from the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase, and it takes that same verse, and it says it this way: "If the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself." When God lives and breathes in you, you're delivered from the dead life. That's an interesting term there. The dead life. It's kind of like an oxymoron, isn't it? Like jumbo shrimp. Dead life. Dead life. Dead life. Does that make sense? I think we can all understand what they're saying there. The dead life, you're alive, but you're going through a whole lot of hell, a whole lot of death, a whole lot of pain. And what does it say? You're delivered from the dead life. And what does it? The keys that he holds, the same power that rose him from the dead, is alive and well today. Romans, a New Testament verse, after the resurrection, this same Spirit that dwelled in him can dwell in you and bring life to your dead situation. That's what Easter's all about. Not just celebrating something that happened. Yeah, wasn't that nice? But it's still happening today. It's still going on. It's still alive. It's still working. It's still available to you today to raise you from the dead, to resurrect your situation. It's never too late to be what you can be in God. He will always resurrect you. He's the God of the second chance, third chance, 1,000,000th chance. Always is in the resurrection business, resurrecting your hope, your life, your dreams, things that you've given up on and said, the devil said it ain't going to happen, just throw in the sponge, just quit. And the Spirit of God is there saying, no, I want to bring life into your situation. I want to resurrect you. You're delivered from the dead life. That's what Easter's all about, with his spirit living in you. Your body, this is that verse, will be as alive as Christ. Pastor Courtney is alive. Jesus is alive, healthy, unrestricted, and he wants to bring that life. If he lives in you, he'll resurrect your dead life. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14. He was speaking to his disciples, and this is just before he went to the cross. It's a lengthy discourse you can read in John 14, 15, 16, and he said, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you'll live also. Resurrection life. He can bring life to emotional death, relational death, spiritual death. Because he lives, you can live in your emotions, in your relationships, in your spirit. And you might be here today and you say at this point, well, Billy Boy, that's pretty nice, but what do I do with that? How do I go forward from here? I want to give you four words to think about, four words that you need to know. The first one is search. Search. And I want to change it in the way we usually hear it, you need to search for God. And I believe that the Bible obviously talks about that. We search for him, we'll find him. But I want you to know that God's searching for you. He's on a search for you. The Bible is very clear about that. Jesus said if you lose one, he's still got the 99. He doesn't go, well, hell, 99 is still pretty good. No, he says he leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one that's lost. You know what? God's searching for you today. He's searching for you. Maybe you've been separated from the fold, from the flock, from the relationship with God. I can assure you, he's searching. He's looking. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and they went and hid themselves, God went looking for them. He didn't say, oh, forget them. No, he went after them. You know, and I think you know it in your heart that he's been searching for you. You can look back on your life and see times when God was reaching out and trying to get your attention and talking to you. He's searching for you, and he'll never quit. Just waiting for us to respond. The second word I got for you to think about is rescue. See, he wants to rescue us from ourselves and from our situation and from this earth and from death, all those different types of death. He wants to rescue you. I don't know if you've ever been in a bad situation where you need to be rescued. It's nice when you're rescued. One time this was before I got saved, and anyway, I won't tell you how we got out there, but we were in the middle of the ocean, and I was water skiing, and I fell in the ocean, and it was night, and it was dark, and there was no moon, and the guys in the boat, they weren't in their full mental capacities, and they left me, man. They left me in the ocean hanging on to one water ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was awful glad when somebody came and rescued me. It sure felt good to get rescued. And we're all in the same kind of situation. We need someone to rescue us from emotional death, relational death, spiritual death, and there's only one who can rescue you. You know what? If everyone else says you're worthless, God doesn't think that. He sees great value in you. God sees value in you. You know, sometimes Rebecca will throw stuff up away that I see in the trash can, and I say, you know what, I see some value in that thing right there, like this jar right here, man. She didn't see any value in this jar. I'm always snatching stuff out of the trash can. Like she said, that jar is useless, and I look at that and I said, that's useful to me. That's valuable. See, it's got the straight size. I said, that's a perfect jar for 2-inch screws. Man, that's just awesome. And I've had that for years. And now I look for a 3-inch screw jar and a 4-inch screw. And this is valuable. I saved this thing from the trash heap, from being crushed and ground to powder and no more existence, gone. And look at it, still alive in my workshop. I rescued it because I saw some value in it. You know what? God looks at you and somebody may say, you're worthless, you're washed up, you're no good. And God never sees worthless in you. He says, I see value. I can repurpose that person. Yeah, I repurpose this from a meaningless life of carrying salsa to carrying 2-inch screws. That's valuable right there. That's value right there, man, I'm telling you. And that's God's business. He repurposes stuff. That's what redeem means, to deem it again, to deem it into another value, another purpose, another use, another life. That jar's got another life. You in God can have another life designed by God. The next word I want you to see is restore. God's all about restoring. And you know what? He does that little by little and day by day. It's not an overnight event. It's not a one-time event. He doesn't snap his fingers. It's a process. You didn't get where you are overnight, and you're not going to get where he wants you to be overnight. You know what? When you look at me, don't judge me by what I'm not. You ought to see where I was a year ago. And one guy prayed this prayer, "Oh, Lord, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be." Amen. You know, we're on a journey. And, you know, don't just judge people for where they're at. You don't know where they've come from. I'm a work in progress. How about you? Yeah. You know what? I've got issues. You got issues. Guess what? All God's children got issues. And if you don't think you got an issue, that's your issue. I don't know who put this on my desk. Somebody put this on my desk this week. It's an article. It said, man robs a bank in California, in Hayward, California, and says, we're looking for him, because the picture of him coming out of the bank after he robbed the bank, it says, looking for this guy. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, I have issues. Oh, I don't know. At least he's honest, right? He's got issues. I hope that's not your issue. He's honest about gotten issues. He's not too honest if he robs the bank, right? Maybe he stole the shirt from somebody, and that person, they really got issues now. He stole their shirt, and he went and robbed the bank. But the truth is, we've all got issues. And you know what? God's not shocked by our issues. He's working on our issues. It's a lifelong process. The last word I got for you, word number four, is redeem. Redeem, to give something new purpose. You see that concept throughout the scriptures. He told the people of Israel, I'm going to redeem you. Y'all been slaves making bricks for 400 years. You got a wrong kind of mindset. I need to repurpose you and redeem you. Some of us have been beat down by the world system, thinking I'm only good for this, I'm only good for that. And God wants to continually repurpose and redeem you and resurrect you for your eternal purpose and the reason that he created you in your mother's womb. You're not an accident on this planet. Maybe your parents said you were an accident. Well, you were no accident to God. You're no surprise to God. He decided to take that opportunity and to bring you into existence at this time and place and circumstances. Everything about your life was designed by God for a purpose. And when he redeems you, you connect with the creator who created you and find out what you were created to do. And then you go fulfill that. And that's where contentment comes from. That's where happiness comes from. I worked in L.A. with some of the richest people on the planet. They weren't happy because they weren't doing what they were created to do. All the stuff the world told them would make them happy didn't make them happy. God's the God of a second chance and new beginnings. Let's live a life that matters. You can start today after today's service. We're going to have a class. We have it every month, the third Sunday of every month. It's called Discovery 301. We're going to give you a free lunch, and you can take about an hour. We're going to give you a personality test to discover how you are uniquely made with a unique personality. And it helps you understand other people that you're connected with, maybe married to. You say, oh, that's, I got this personality, they got that personality. That's why we see things so differently. Then we're going to give you a spiritual gifts test to identify your strongest spiritual gifting that God created you. Then we're going to give you a passion assessment. We're going to find out your personality profile, your spiritual gifts, and then your passion assessment. We're going to find the intersection of those three. That's your sweet spot. And we're going to, through that, we discover how God created you and what you're created to do. And then you can start living a fulfilling life. It's part of what we do as a church. We do that. It's all free. The lunch is free. The whole class is free. The tests are free. You can stay today and find out those three things about your life. And then you can become a part of a team that's making a difference. I found out that God created us for fulfillment in teamwork. You're born into a family. You're born again into a family. There was a team here yesterday, like ants all over the place. Bunches of teams working on stuff, making changes, making the house beautiful, getting ready for today. We made some major changes to our children's ministry, and you're going to see some great improvement. We're bursting at the seams with youngins. That's a good problem to have. How many think that's a good thing? But it's created some challenges, so we rearranged some of our rooms. We're moving. You're going to love this. It's going to take a little work, but we're moving kids' church to a building. We're going to redo this building, and they got more space for the toddlers and for the 0 and 2-year-olds. But people were here yesterday working, making changes, putting up fences. We're growing, praise the Lord, and we're trying to adapt and meet those needs. That people were on a team, serving, being fulfilled, using their gifting. God redeems us and repurposes us. I found this website that shows art made from junk. There's people, they go to the junkyard. They go in the dumpster. They go in people's trash and they pull stuff out and they make stuff out of it. And here's some pictures that we got right here of things made from just discarded stuff. Somebody put it together. There's one. You can go to the next one. I don't know if that one runs. I might give it a little spin, but the next one, there you go. Made from junk, the next one. There's a chair made from old CDs. You wonder what you do with your old CDs? There you go. You make a chair out of it. It's a butterfly made from junk. Repurpose. Just go ahead. This is shadow art, they call it. They pile up junk and see the little different pictures in the back. They shine a light on it. Taking stuff that's useless. That looks almost lifelike there. That big old gorilla. I don't know what those things. Oh, those are old coat hangers. Look at that. They just stuck them all together. Coat hangers. What's the next one? Elephant you could ride around in your yard. That one looks pretty realistic there, doesn't it? You see the next one? Somebody even made a crucifix of Jesus. You know, God wants to take our mess and turn it into a masterpiece. He never gives up. What the world says is finished and done with, you know, he resurrects our life and makes a masterpiece. Would you, on Easter, we're thinking about being repurposed. You know, would you trust him with your life? That's what Christianity is all about. It's really just trusting God, trusting in a Savior, trusting in a God, and taking that step of faith and just turning it over to him. Just giving up all the struggle and all the fight and trying to make it on your own and admitting that you need a Savior and that you have a purpose and there's a God in heaven who loves you. And you trust him with your life, your one and only life, and trusting it into the hands and just coming to him and saying, take my life. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. It's just saying, take my life, Lord. I've tried to make it this or that, and you know what? It's not really working. Maybe I should just quit trying to figure out what my purpose is and come to you and ask you what my purpose is. And you give me life and give me purpose. Redeem me, Lord. Here I am, just as I am. Repurpose me. Let resurrection power resurrect my dead life. I want to pray for you right now. And I want to ask you a question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, are you here today and you need a fresh start? You need to start all over again. You need that resurrection life to come into your life. Maybe you're experiencing spiritual death. Maybe you're experiencing an emotional death. Maybe you've experienced a relational death and you're still hurt and you're still wounded. And I can tell you it's probably going to take some time, but it can start this very moment, this very morning, this very day. Life can come back into that wounded, broken, hurting heart of yours so that you can be whole and you can be happy and you can be fulfilled. And it's going to start right here this morning. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you if that's you. If you need a fresh start today and you can trust Jesus with your life, just slip up your hand. Just for a moment. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up all over. Today's a new day for you. Every head's bowed, every eye closed, just between me and you and God. But you say today, just hold your hand up and say, I want a fresh start. I want God to repurpose my life. I trust him with my life completely. I give him my life, my whole life. Put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help him. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You came to earth, died on a cross. God raised you from the dead. Now I'm a sinner and I need a Savior and I can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you so much, Jesus. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.